Today is Juneteenth. Do you know what that is?
I've heard the phrase, but I don't know what Juneteenth is, no.
I have no idea. I've never heard of it.
Juneteenth? Nope.
It was automatically added to a U.S. holidays calendar in a calendar I have. I haven't looked it up.
It's about when people were freed.
Juneteenth? Yes.
Juneteenth? Who's he?
I heard it before, but I don't remember. I don't remember what it was about.
Yeah, I have heard about Juneteenth, actually.
It's definitely not something that you learn about in school.
100% no.
Green tea?
Juneteenth.
What's that?
It's like a celebration of freedom, right?
The truth is, a lot of Americans haven't heard of Juneteenth, and that's part of the reason ABC's hit show Black-ish decided to tackle it last fall.
Well, instead of making us celebrate your holidays, why don't you celebrate some of ours? Everybody's represented here. St. Patrick's Day, Columbus Day, Cinco de Mayo. What about Tupac's birthday?
Oh, well.
What about Magic Johnson still alive day?
Really? Earl.
What about Juneteenth?
Maybe you should have led with that last one.
Maybe.
Enslavement. They didn't want us to see how that looked. We were enslaved. So they didn't teach it in the schools because they knew it was wrong.
That's actress Jennifer Lewis, and she plays the straight-talking grandmother, Ruby Johnson, on Black-ish.
And certainly Juneteenth would never have been discussed because, you know, they waited until after a harvest before they told the people that were enslaved. So it's not surprising that a lot of people don't know about Juneteenth, and that's why Black-ish is so important right now.
What she's talking about, what Juneteenth marks, is June 19th, 1865, when Union soldiers landed in Galveston, Texas, with the news that the war was over and that enslaved people were free. That news came 2.5 years after President Lincoln issued the Emancipation Proclamation. Black-ish took the Johnson family back to that time, realizing the moment of freedom.
So, what happens now?
Oh, we're free, dummy!
Okay, but what does that mean?
Wait! Pops!
Yeah?
What does that mean?
What does freedom mean? It's a question the entire cast confronted.
When I arrived on the set the first day of shooting, it was haunting and yet celebratory because we were doing it. But more haunting in that we got to see what it looked like, what the cabins looked like, and how oppressed they truly were. So we had to create new characters. We had to go places inside of ourselves to create those characters. And they were dark, deep places that our ancestors had gone through. I had to become that woman who wore rags between her legs while on her period, still having to run to be free. See, people don't think about that part of it.
And that doesn't surprise Jennifer Lewis. These are stories that many people don't tell and don't know.
What we need is what the writers did and what Kenya Barris did for Juneteenth. They told the truth. It was wrong for them not to tell the enslaved people that they were free because they wanted just one more harvest. Let's keep them, not tell them. Everything about it was wrong. The fact that they didn't teach it in schools were wrong. I didn't know nothing about slavery. Nobody taught me about slavery in school. It might have come up a couple of times. And I went to an all-black school. But was it in the textbooks? No.
But for Jennifer Lewis, the matriarch from Black-ish, Juneteenth is a reminder that in spite of human cruelty, there will still be those who choose truth and kindness.
Juneteenth means celebrate. To celebrate humanity, that those people who were in government at the time, that some of them had a soul. They stood up and told the truth, and bravo for them.
Hundreds of people came out to enjoy the 25th annual Juneteenth celebration in Harlem, New York City this past Saturday.
We might be free on paper, but we're not getting our share of America like we should. So every year we want to remind each other of our need to come together as a people and to make real progress here in America.
That's organizer Ade Rasool, and he says Juneteenth could be vital to unifying people of the African diaspora.
There's no other national cry or call that can organize us beyond religion, beyond color, you know, beyond nationality. There's no other religion that can, that's big enough to do that, to cross those lines. So Juneteenth has served as a very good venue that crosses that line and includes all of our diaspora, no matter, you know, what part of the diaspora you associate yourself with. Juneteenth incorporates is an excellent umbrella for us to come underneath.
New York State Senator Brian Benjamin was also present at the celebrations in Harlem. Juneteenth has even more weight for him as a lawmaker.
We over-incarcerate in New York, and we put people in prison and jail who are not just society, and we got to be better about that. So it's all interrelated. But you can't really know where you're going unless you know where you're coming from, and you can't know where you're coming from if you're not familiar with Juneteenth.
The past is certainly still with us, and I think we can definitely do better to learn about our history. Van R. Newkirk II wrote a piece in The Atlantic last year called The Quintessential Americanness of Juneteenth.
It's celebrated as an Emancipation Day. It's celebrated as sort of a nationally representative day of when the slaves were freed. But actually, if you look at the history, it wasn't. It's not legally or actually even practically the day in which most people, enslaved people in America, were freed. So you have the Emancipation Proclamation in 1863, which technically frees everybody, but not really, because if you lived in Confederate states, you lived in a rebel state. So it didn't really matter if the federal government had freed you. But then you see over the course of the next 2 years, more and more people become free over the course of the Civil War. There's Memorial Day in April. But Juneteenth actually represents the very last people who are enslaved who become free in Texas. So the fact that it's become sort of the de facto emancipation holiday should tell us that, you know, we're celebrating a delayed emancipation. And that's probably representative of the African-American experience. You know, there are things, people are free, but not quite free. You have the end of slavery, but then we have the beginning of Jim Crow. So I think it's actually a very useful way to think about the way freedom works and how, for Black people especially, it's always been sort of on the horizon.
And is that what makes this holiday, if you will, bittersweet to you?
Oh, yes, definitely. First of all, you had people who before then were unfree, and you can't celebrate their lives and what they'd lived and died for without acknowledging that. But also, again, freedom is a process. It doesn't just happen because people become unenslaved one day. And I think there's not just bittersweetness, but a bit of an idea of collective work, that freedom is a collective process.
And in terms of broader recognition of what Juneteenth is, we're seeing TV shows like Black-ish and Atlanta do episodes on Juneteenth. It's on a lot of American iPhone calendars. What do you think is the sort of, what's driving this to be part of the mainstream today?
Now, that's just, if you go back and ask and tell a Black person in 1980 that one day Juneteenth is going to be on their official work calendars, oh, that probably be interesting for them. I think it has, especially in the Black Lives Matter era, more and more folks are trying to think about these cultural touchstones and celebrations that have not entered the mainstream because the mainstream hasn't considered them to be relevant or important. You know, Juneteenth is one of them. But also, you know, you see lots of things. Like, I think it's sort of similar to how Kwanzaa, which is certainly not celebrated by, I don't even think, the majority of African Americans, but still has become a thing that we teach in order to understand how a whole group of people in this country feel differently oriented towards the national identity.
And do you think it's something that is talked about enough in our school curriculums, for example? There's already lots of questions in different states about different types of curriculum as they relate to our history regarding communities of color, Black and brown communities. So is this something that needs to be better taught, or is it something that is already covered, you think?
Well, I think we can always strive to teach better, and especially teach about African-American history, African-American contributions to history, how American history is oriented towards and against African-American advancement. Those are all things that I think, you know, lots of schools don't do quite a great job at. When I was in school, when we ran out of textbooks, we had to use the old ones that still said the War of Northern Aggression. And
I
that
remember
wasn't
that. Oh my
too
gosh.
Long ago. Yeah.
It's like, oh my gosh.
Mm-hmm. And there's still these arguments, right, about like whether we're even going to mention slavery in our textbooks. And I do think while social media may be tending towards breaking people out of these bubbles, lots of districts are trying to go in the exact opposite direction, actually.
Now, you are a father. What would you tell your son about Juneteenth?
So I think I would tell him what my father, who is a professor of African-American history, what he always told me. He told me Juneteenth was only one of very many number of celebrations across the country by African-Americans, by Black people, and not just by African-Americans in this country. It's one of several liberation holidays celebrated by Black diaspora across the world. And you should consider it in that context. When you celebrate Juneteenth, you should think about the people in Haiti who celebrate Liberation Day. And you should think about how it connects and binds a collective group of identities that's built in opposition to a thing.
And that thing is, interestingly, I think we're having a very polarized discussion in our country today, if you will. Where do you put something like Juneteenth in the context of a United States in 2018, where white supremacy is essentially on full display in certain parts of the country?
Well, you can't ignore the valences right now of celebrating Juneteenth, of talking about it, and just where the country's conversation, not just conversation, I think that's a weak word, where the actual racial dynamics are unfolding. And I think you've seen white supremacy, like you say, is emboldened. You have Klansmen and Nazis marching on the streets. And I think it's going to become, especially for people who sort of lived through some of this, people who were older Black folks who were alive during Jim Crow, the idea that young people are going to be out there celebrating liberation, that's, to me, to some of the folks I've talked to, that brings them a renewed sense of hope and also responsibility. There's a lot of work left to be done, clearly. And this celebration, I think, should bring that to the front of everyone's mind.
Van R. Newkirk II is a staff writer from The Atlantic covering politics. Thanks for being with us, Van.
Thank you for having me.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.